This episode of Game Master's Journey is brought to you by the patrons and other supporters of Starwalker Studios. Find out more about becoming a patron, as well as all the other great ways you can support the show at starwalkerstudios.com/support. Starwalker Studios presents Game Master's Journey, your multidimensional RPG podcast. Hello, fellow gamer. Welcome to episode 196 of Game Master's Journey. I'm your host, Lex Starwalker. On this show, we discuss the craft and the art of game mastering. I've been running RPGs for over 26 years now, and I produce this show in the hopes that you can benefit from my experience, my triumphs, and my mistakes. Today, I'm bringing you the second prelude in my Hinterlands of Alandria D&D campaign. Today I talk with Phoebe about her character Bryn, the Firbolg Druid. If you're a new listener of the show, welcome to Game Master's Journey. Today's episode is an actual play episode, but most of the episodes of this show are not actual play. The most recent regular format episode is episode 194, in which I spoke with listener GM Allie about her experiences as a new GM. I'm releasing these actual play episodes because listeners requested an audio version of the campaign. If you prefer to see the video version of the campaign, you can watch the videos that this audio comes from on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/StarwalkerStudios. Real quickly, before we get to the prelude, I want to give a shout out to my Tier 5 patron, Steve. And I want to remind you that you can learn about becoming a patron yourself of Starwalker Studios at patreon.com/StarwalkerStudios. You can also find all the other great ways to support this show at StarwalkerStudios.com/support. I want to apologize again about the audio in this recording. As in the last episode, I am limited to the fidelity of the Google Hangouts that we use because we play these games online. And although I did make some tweaks that make the audio in this recording a lot better than the last one, a problem with this recording is you can hear me pounding away at my keyboard. I tried to clean that up as much as I could, but I was taking a lot of notes during this prelude, so I unfortunately couldn't get rid of all of it. Hopefully it's not too distracting for you. So without further ado, let's get Phoebe on board and let's start talking about her character. So, you are thinking a Firbolg Druid. Is that still the plan?
That is still the plan. I think I'm pretty set on this one.
Awesome. So, one thing I wanted to talk to you real quick about is your god. And you were saying you were leaning towards Dianara, who's the goddess of the wilderness and hunting and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. I do know that Craig was considering that god, but he'd also said that he wanted to do, because he's playing a cleric of the Hunt domain, and he was saying he wanted to do a god that was a little less obvious for his character than that. But that was like a week ago, and I haven't heard from him since then, so I don't know if he's going to go with Dianara or if he's going with something else or what. I don't know. So... if you guys both end up picking Dianara, I'll probably try to figure out a way to kind of tie your characters together somehow. Like maybe you met in the city or something. And ideally we would figure that out now, but since I don't know what Craig's doing, we can't.
First dibs, Craig.
Yeah. So that's fine. If that's the way you want to go with.
Nah.
The only thing I thought of is I was reading about the Firbolg, and I mean, this is totally up to you because it's your character. And they seem very kind of like they're very peaceful, like almost pacifist, but not quite. I could definitely see them being, because it talks about they're all about like natural conservation. So it's talking about like if like another group moves into their territory and they don't like overhunt or chop down too many trees or whatever, they might live peacefully. But I could totally see firbolgs or individual firbolgs being like vegetarian as part of that like pacifism thing.
Absolutely.
In which case, Dianara might not be the best deity for that kind of firbolg, because her big thing is hunting. But on the other hand, I could also see them being, you know, they eat meat, they just don't like over hunt. Like, you know, they're like, we're not going to kill all the deer in the forest because that would be bad.
I mean, I think another part of conservation is sometimes, unfortunately, like culling.
Yeah, that's true. That's very
certain species. I was actually thinking about a lot about this the other day. They definitely seem like, you know, they would be like, oh no, we can't hurt the animals, but they also seem like really, you know, mostly worried about the ecosystem and the survival of the forest as a whole.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't save every chipmunk, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. And I could totally see like either philosophy working for your character. I imagine there are firbolgs that go either way. So it's really up to you. So it sounds like you've already thought about that. So that's cool. So we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, I also considered Ossetara, but the thing is that it says they don't really do that, and farming can be so like, you know, if you don't do it right, it can be really bad for the land and.
Yeah. So farming might not be the best thing.
I feel like they'd be like, it's more natural, we only take what.
Totally. The only there's a lot of the deities that they could worship that are kind of nature related, but other than Dianara, the only one I saw that I thought might be a cool spin would be Ganj. Who,
you know, I totally thought about that too. I feel like people are probably huge stoners. I mean, just look at them.
Yeah. And he's kind of like, he's all about like visions. So if you wanted to play like the kind of character that like maybe has visions of the future or prophetic dreams or something like that, that could be an interesting kind of spin, like a seer kind of thing. But yeah, that was the only other one that I saw that was like, oh, I could totally see the firbolg being all about this particular god. So
yeah, I just don't know what I would do with it, because I have never done drugs in my life.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm not
really cool.
Yeah, I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I just wanted to make sure that you know all the options.
I've read the god list a few times, and it'd be nice if there were I mean, I'm not saying go out and make a god for me, Lex, but you know.
No. What are you thinking?
Like, what's the most like wild nature-based god? And I was like, well, I guess that's Dianara. Yeah. Most foresty.
Yeah, definitely. So is there something that, because it seems like you started to suggest a god. What was your idea?
I mean, it's your world. I was just saying I remembered originally, when we had a campaign that didn't really go anywhere originally, there was the goddess of like the planet, right?
Yeah.
That was Primordia.
Yeah. And that became the agriculture god, Ossetara. But she was, well, I mean, the original Primordia goddess was kind of Ossetara and Dianara and a bunch of other stuff. Like all kind of combined in one.
It was a lot of concepts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one thing I did when I came up with more gods, is I tried to make them a little more specialized or whatever. But yeah, you know, it's interesting because Azatara is the goddess of agriculture and Dayanara is the goddess of foraging and hunting, which definitely I think is what the Firbolg would be doing for the most part.
Yeah, I really can't see them farming at all. I sort of saw them as like this total like hunter gatherer, like communal egalitarian society.
Yeah. But there's also horticulture that's kind of somewhere in the middle, which is where you have a group that like they hunt and gather, but they also plant like wild things like mm-hmm. maybe like around here, there's like blackberries everywhere. Right.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I love walking down. And
yeah. So indigenous people that lived here way back when probably figured out that, oh, we could take this blackberry bush or we could take these seeds and plant it in this area that we come back to every year. And now there'll be lots of blackberries. So I don't know about having a god just for that, though. So right now that would probably be Dayanara, too. So that could be your little bit of what little, quote, farming the Firbolg do. And it wouldn't be like having fields. It'd be more like a little garden kind of thing.
Definitely. I mean, they probably do a little bit of that.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I'd see like if like a fire destroyed part of their forest, they'd go in and plant more trees. And
right. Yeah, things. Totally. Totally. Awesome. So, okay. Yeah. So Druid, your deity is Dayanara. And have you decided on I don't think you need to decide yet necessarily, but have you thought about what subclass of Druid you want to be? And did you look at the additional ones beyond what's in the PHB that you could choose?
I did.
Okay.
I thought Circle of the Shepherd was interesting, but I think Circle of the Moon, the wild shapes are just pretty cool.
Yeah.
I kind of just want to turn into a bear and go bash some heads, you know?
Cool. Well, that's definitely the one for you then. So I think you actually choose that at second level. So
I think I do.
Yeah. So you could change your mind between now and then.
It's not set in stone.
Yeah.
But I am definitely leaning towards Circle of the Moon.
Cool. Awesome. And have you started on your character sheet at all yet?
Yeah, I have. I started making one in the program that I use.
Okay.
Not the one that you uploaded, just because I haven't gotten to that. I just started using it before we got there.
I uploaded basically the one that you found that like does everything.
Yeah, that just with the customized sources.
Yeah. So, I mean, you don't have to use that one.
I have the same sources, yeah. So I don't think it's really necessary to.
Yeah. So, yeah, when you get that finished, go ahead and upload a copy to our folder. Do you know how to do that?
I think so.
You should be able to just drag and drop it. Are you on a PC or a Mac?
I'm on a Mac.
Okay. Well, hopefully it works. have you had any problems with Google Drive on Mac? Has it worked for you? Okay. Awesome.
It's always been great with me.
Awesome. Awesome. Cause yeah, I actually saw somewhere someone talking about that sheet that you found. Cause I think it was on the Game Master's Journey community. I shared it cause I thought it was so cool. I'm like, hey, check out the sheet. And somebody was saying they were using a Mac and having all kinds of problems with it. But
you
I'm
know
glad
why?
That you're not.
Because they actually put this huge disclaimer when you open it in the regular like default Mac PDF viewer, which is called Preview.
Okay.
And it's really not made for Preview, and Preview just totally mucks it up.
Okay.
So you just go get Adobe Acrobat,
gotcha.
The free one.
The Mac version, Adobe Reader.
Yeah, yeah, Acrobat Reader. And yep. Just get that and it works fine. That's what it's made for. So
okay. I actually saw that disclaimer and I didn't know what Preview was. So I just kind of in one ear and out the other. So did you understand the way the point by works? Because it's a little different than what's in the book. Did that make sense?
I do.
Okay. So,
I just couldn't decide if I'd like.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
Oh, I think there was a little bit of a lag.
Okay.
So I thought you were coming after me.
So once you do your ability scores and then you add your bonuses for being a Firbolg, which I think is like +2 wisdom, +1 strength or something like that.
Yes, that is what it is.
Then after you do that, you also get a +2 to your constitution. And that is something everybody's going to get just to help you guys out a little bit. But all do right. Like the point buy and all that stuff first, because it's above and beyond that.
All right. So. That makes things easier, because I was really I was like trying to make everything even in terms of dump stats. But
yeah.
No, like I didn't want to make her too stupid. I didn't want to make her too weak because she's 7'3". Like wouldn't make sense.
Nice. Oh, 7'3". That's good. That reminds me. I was going to mention that. I was looking at your disguise self ability, and you can only change your height by a foot.
Actually, no. You can do it up to. Here, let's open the.
Is yours special? The Firbolg version. Oh, cool.
Their disguised self. When you use this version of disguised self, you can seem up to 3 feet shorter than normal.
Oh, nice. Okay. Then it's not a problem. But even at 7'3", even if it was only a foot, you'd be 6'3", which is within, I mean, that'd be really sort tall of. For a human.
That'd be like Gwendolyn Christie sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you'd stick out a little bit, but it wouldn't be like.
Completely unbelievable.
Right. But yeah, if you can do 3 feet, that's awesome. You can be any height you want, really. That's pretty cool. And I remember you said that when you're in the city and stuff, you're pretty much always disguised as a human.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which you don't have to be. Firbolg are pretty rare, and you're most likely the only one in the city. But people, well, maybe not like the peasants, but the more educated people, like they know what they are, and they know that they're, I mean, basically harmless as it's not like if you're a tiefling or like a half orc where people are going to be scared of you.
Yeah. Like, but, I don't think she's super fastidious about it, but it probably just helps.
Yeah. Makes life a little easier.
Firbolgs don't seem to be very flashy people.
Yeah.
Kind of like
true.
Let's get along with our day. Please stop staring at me.
Oh, did you see the addle that I added to the player's guide? It's a new sort of a weapon.
You're cutting out.
Oh, I'm cutting out. Did you see the new weapon I added to the player's guide? The addle, the spear thrower.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. So I don't know what kind of weapons you're planning on using, but spear is one of the weapons a druid can use. So if you end up using a spear, you could use one of those too. I could see the Firbolg being all about that.
Yeah, I wanted something like that. I was like, I guess I'll do a staff and maybe a spear. I was also thinking of maybe taking a shield.
Yeah.
Just because it seems practical, but
yeah.
Then I'd need my spell focus and, you know, not sure how that would work exactly, but speakers are cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. And actually, let me look at like the spear, but I feel like you could probably.
I also liked the staff because it's, you know, kind of pacifist, like let's not kill them. Let's
that's a good
beat
point.
Them.
I'm kind of wondering if they couldn't be interchangeable. When you say one here.
I feel like you could.
Yeah. I'm just seeing if. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're both the same damage. The only difference is that the quarterstaff is bludgeoning and the spear is piercing, and you can't throw a quarterstaff usually, but I could totally
I don't think it would do much.
Right. But what I was thinking is like, you could have a spear and you could choose to use it more like a quarterstaff if you wanted, like say you were like, oh, I don't want to
draw blood on this person, so I'm going to use the butt of the spear more like a quarterstaff.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So yeah, you could go that route.
And just like sling the shield on your back and
yeah, like, or just go quarterstaff
style. Yeah, I mean it's pretty classic druid.
yeah. So yeah, once you decide like what, like on your equipment, we can talk about, because everybody's going to get a magic item.
Yes, I did want to ask you about that.
Yeah, so like if you're going to use a staff, it could be a staff, or it could be armor, or it could be a shield, or it could be something random, like that isn't a weapon or armor, like some weird thing.
I am just completely lost as to what to choose, to be honest.
Well, that's fine. What we may do then is just make it your weapon, whatever you decide your weapon's going to be.
I feel like that's pretty easy, pretty standard. Yeah. Not very exciting, but hey.
Well, I mean, if you go with staff, there's some exciting. Yeah, there's some cool staffs out there.
Yeah, I don't know which. I was looking at the uncommon. I think there's like a couple staffs on there. I didn't. Or staff staves. What is the plural of staff? I don't know.
Staffs or staves. I've heard both.
One's probably slightly more pretentious than the other. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe one's British and one's American. I don't know.
So are we taking from just the uncommon list, or are the rare, or what's going on here?
Well, the idea is that this is an item that you'll have the ability to make it more powerful in the future.
Oh.
So if you chose like I think there's like a staff of the woodlands or a druid staff or something like that. So if you chose that, you would just have like the light version right now. Like it wouldn't have all the abilities that one has, but later on it would.
It'll power up artifact weapon style. I don't know if you played the newest expansion of WoW at all, but
I have not, but yeah, I think I think it's Staff of the Woodlands is like the big druid one. Yeah. So yeah, that's only rare. It's actually not that crazy powerful. It's a +2 weapon, gives you +2 to spell attacks, which is pretty cool. Has charges you can spend to cast spells with it. It can do animal friendship, awaken, bark skin. Locate animals or plants, speak with animals, speak with plants, wall of thorns. You can turn into a tree. Oh, no, you can turn like a staff like a tree into a tree.
Or turn the, oh, to a healthy tree.
Yeah, I'm not sure why you would want to do that, but you can. And then you can change it back again.
Like maybe you could transport via plants, but then you'd like leave your staff behind.
Yeah, maybe that's what they're thinking with that.
I feel like that'd be kind of problematic. Like, oh, well, now my staff is halfway across the world. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, so probably whatever staff you picked or whatever staff we went with, if we did a staff, it would probably just start out like just a +1 staff. And then it would get cooler later. But you can think about like what do you want to use for a weapon and just let me know. And unless you have a different idea, we'll just plan on having your weapon be your kind of special magic item that you start out with. And that could be, it could be something maybe you got from your, like one of the elders of your tribe, maybe when you became a druid.
Yeah, I was just thinking that like everybody dies. I take the staff out of the dead hands of the village elder and run away. I don't know, something dramatic.
Yeah. So yeah, speaking of that, what I was thinking is because we talked a little bit about this over email, but one of the things as a Firbolg is usually they're not adventurers. So it's like if you are, you have to figure out why. And one of the possibilities was your whole tribe was destroyed, which you said you thought sounded interesting. So 5 years ago, there was a breaking of the world that started. And I was thinking maybe where your tribe was, which was north of Alondria, further north, there is a volcanic eruption that basically wiped out your entire tribe.
That pretty much do it, I think. pretty-
And maybe you were off on like a druid vision quest, like out far away, like fasting and meditating and all this stuff when this happened.
Yeah, I mean, so- as a brand new level one baby druid, maybe I was like, you know, starting my apprenticeship or something and went off on my vision quest, came back. Oh, oops. Tribe's gone.
Yeah. Wow. Now there's just a field of cooling lava where the village was. Or camp or whatever it was.
Like the forest is gone, the animals are gone.
Yeah.
Everything I ever knew and loved.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would have been when you went to the city, sometime after yeah. that. And then you've been just in the city kind of on the down low. Trying to stay out of trouble.
I don't know what I would be doing, like just like making potions. For spare coin, I don't know.
So you said you were going to go with the Outlander background, right?
I think it makes the most sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And it gives me a little bit of a chance to be a bit of a badass with athletics.
Yeah.
Instead of just completely squishy 7'3".
Well, you will have a slightly better strength than normal, so that might help with that. Yeah, and with the new point buy I'm doing, like no one should have lower than a 10. So even your quote dump stat is a 10. So at least you don't have any penalties.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, that's 11, kind of an experiment to see how that works. I have a feeling adding 3 points is gonna amount to not much. I should have added more, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I also was thinking like it might be cool. I don't know. I was reading up on druids and I saw this cool thing, like maybe later on I would take like a level in barbarian or something so I could get rage in animal form.
Okay. Yeah.
That's cool. I don't know if it's very furbolg. I'd have to think of a good explanation for it.
Yeah.
But they said furbolg barbarians can exist in times of severe conflict, and
yeah,
it could be. I don't know. That's still up in the air. That's not definite at all.
Yeah, and you may find with your wild shape that you don't even need it because you can turn into some big scary animal and rampage around. Oh, I should let you know one possibility you definitely will have for that is the various dinosaurs, because dinosaurs are very much a thing in this area. So you would have definitely seen them. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So those are all available to you for your wild shape. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Oh, that will be fun. Velociraptor!
Yeah, totally. Totally. Wow, we are just... let's see. So being an Outlander in the city, you probably wouldn't be like considered a merchant or a noble in the city. You'd be...
Oh, no.
You'd be at the bottom of the the hierarchy there. Especially since being...
I'm wondering if she even has a place to sleep or if she's like just on the streets.
Yeah, you don't remember the name of the tavern in the Harbor District that we came up with for the other campaign, do you?
You know, it is in one of my old notebooks around here.
Yeah, me too. I don't know where that one is. Let me look.
I remember the barkeep was half elven, and that's all I got.
Yeah. Well, we can figure that out, but maybe that's where your character has been staying. Maybe you worked out some kind of deal with him, where you kind of helped out for your room and board or something.
Yeah. Lifting heavy barrels of ale. I might only currently have a strength of 11, but my lifting capacity is twice.
Yeah. Which is cool. Yeah. Yeah, I have to find
giant kin.
Yeah, I'll have to find my notes figure out what that is. So yeah, so you've been maybe staying there, just doing odd jobs and stuff. And you know, being a druid, it's a little easier for you to just survive.
Yeah.
You know, without society to help you or whatever. So the other main thing is this woman, Druinda, who is going to be the one that kind of brings everybody together.
Mm-hmm.
And she's probably someone you could have met just in this tavern. I feel like it was something the Wanderer or something. Oh, I feel like it's on the tip of my brain with that.
Something Respite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Traveler's Respite or something like that.
Something like that. It was Something Respite.
Actually, I think I found my notebook. Yeah, because this was the campaign that you guys ended up going into.
We ended up going into the
Ravenloft stuff.
Yeah,
this is it.
R.I.P.
I just got to find it.
It'll be fun playing with Danielle again, though.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her since. So.
Outlanders, welcome. Is that it? No.
That could have been it. No.
I feel like you're right. It had the word respite in it.
It had some sort of name like Respite.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm thinking of like something from like some fantasy novel. I don't know. There's a lot of those rattling around in my brain. But
this is the right notebook, but this is all the stuff after we went to Ravenloft. So I think I have the earlier stuff somewhere else. But I'll find it before next time. So this woman, Druinda, you would have met, and she is a human woman. It's hard to tell what age she is because her face and any part of her body that you can see is horribly scarred with old burn scars.
Oh, dear.
And in fact, she's actually blind. There's nothing but like scarred flesh where her eyes used to be. And you know that she was an adventurer back in the day. And this was the result of dragon fire. Her and her party went up against a dragon and it breathed fire on her. And she almost died and lost her sight. And it now kind of has a desk job in the guild because it's kind of hard to adventure when you're blind. And she now has what they call the sight with a capital S, where she can't see, but she can see things other people can't see. Like she has visions. She has prophetic dreams, that kind of stuff. And she is actually all about a couple of the guys. She's all about Ganj and she's all about Alondra. And anytime you visited her in her chambers at the guild hall, she's always hanging out. She's got like this magical harp that plays like soothing music all the time. And she's got this really nice big hookah that she's almost always puffing on, you know, just a cloud of smoke in the room. And she uses it medicinally because she still has quite a bit of pain from her injuries and whatnot. But of course. you've hung out with her a few times. Like I said, you guys probably met sometime in the tavern, and she took an interest in you. You don't know for sure if she knows that you're a firbolg specifically, but she seems to know that you're not what people think you are, that you're somehow disguising yourself or whatever. And she's never like really directly mentioned it. She definitely hasn't like blown your cover in anything, but you definitely get the strong sense that she knows more who and what you really are than most people do. So she kind of took an interest in you, and she might be part of the way that you're kind of surviving as well. And she is the one that contacts you and tells you that she would like you to join this new group she's putting together with some other talented people in the city to do a mission for her personally. And that if you're successful, she'll sponsor you into the guild and you can join the guild and become famous. Which is probably not your motivation to do it, but
no. I think my character's motivation would mostly be just getting out of the damn city. You know?
Yeah.
Like, please let me out of the bubble. I have to see a tree.
Yeah, and she tells you that everyone she's selecting for this, everyone has like their own special skill, their own special talent. And yours is obviously your druidic abilities. And she says that for this mission, you will be leaving the city. You will be going out into the wilderness to the east of the city, looking or investigating rumors that there's a village out there somewhere. And common wisdom holds that there are no more villages or towns, that they were all destroyed. And even a lot of the cities were destroyed. So the possibility that there is a village out there is very intriguing. And the guild wants to know if it's for real or not. It's kind of like most people don't believe it's even possible. They think it's just a crazy rumor. And Druinda is kind of the one that thinks there might be something to it. And the guild isn't willing to devote any resources to checking it out because they think it's probably just a myth. But she thinks there's something more to it. Maybe she had some kind of vision or something. So that's why she's recruiting all of you. So you'll be traveling far from the city, out in the middle of nowhere, looking for this village. So it will definitely you'll get to get back into nature.
and maybe I would look for there probably wasn't the only one Firbolg tribe. Like, we were probably in contact right. somewhat.
Right. And yeah.
Not seeing any Firbolgs. I bet I'd probably want to see if any of them were still left alive.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Or and, still living.
And since you were probably relatively young for a Firbolg when all this happened, mm-hmm. you probably knew that there were other tribes. But you didn't know, you know, where they were or how to contact them or anything like that. So, you know,
yeah.
that they're probably out there and hopefully some of them survived. But yeah, you don't really have any leads as far as where to go find them. So that makes a lot of sense that you'd be all about looking for more Firbolgs. Hopefully you're not the only survivor. That'd be sad.
That would be very sad. Who else is going to be 7 feet tall and blue with me? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never used this race before, so I'm kind of excited to see how it plays out. But I think they seem really cool.
So. Yeah, I'm really fond of them. I hadn't really heard of them before this, but
yeah.
I went and researched it all. I saw, like, in earlier editions, they were very different.
Yeah.
I think, but I really like this edition, just big old nature boys and
the gentle giants.
Gentle giants.
Yeah. Yeah. I dig it.
I saw some reference to like every Firbolg having a code, like a tribe code, and that's very important or whatever.
Okay.
So I thought that would be interesting.
Yeah.
She'd be like, well, in my tribe, there was a rule that everybody, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be fun to flesh out.
Take nothing but pictures, leave nothing but footprints.
That's
we don't
right.
have cameras yet, but
that's right.
The sentiment still stands.
That's right.
I don't know.
That makes
sense.
They just seem
really fun to play. Just
yeah, and perfect for a druid.
Hippies. Oh yeah.
So I think no, I was going to say you're the first person I've had play a druid in 5th edition, but I take that back. I had one other druid character. So yeah, that'll be fun. So yeah, you're going to be, you know, you're going to help all these other people who are going to be with you kind of survive out away from the city, because they're all people from the city. And it looks like right now, with maybe the exception of Craig's character, you're definitely the one that's going to be the most comfortable out in the wilderness.
Yeah. Like, I think, does Outlander gives you survival proficiency, right?
I think so. No,
I've got nature proficiency. I think I took that for Druid. So.
Yep, athletics and survival. And you get to pick a musical instrument and a language.
Oh, I didn't choose another language. Or an instrument. I just figured I'd choose like a wooden flute or something. That seems kind of.
Yeah.
Or like an ocarina. That's kind of cute.
So do you know now what kind of weapon you want to use, or do you want to think about it?
I mean, I kind of like the staff. I might make it a spear, but
seems like you dig the staff. You keep mentioning the staff.
At the risk of being cliche, I think I do like the staff. Does seem pretty.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being cliche. This is D&D. D&D would be nothing without cliches.
Right.
There'd be nothing left. And I mean, you're a firbolg, so you're going to be pretty far outside the box there. That's not something you see every day.
That's a little better than the tiefling warlock. That was pretty cliche.
Yeah. Yeah. Druid, you think like elf, half elf, human are the obvious, you know, I think every druid I've ever seen has been one of those, I feel like.
But firbolgs are fun.
Yeah. I mean, we can do the staff. I think that's fine. Who cares if it's a cliche? I don't think it's as much a cliche as a wizard having a staff.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of wizard, Danielle's playing a wizard. So I wonder if she'll have a staff or not.
Maybe.
You guys might both have staffs and be the staff wielders of the group.
Ah, if she takes a staff, I may take a spear, because I don't want to be too boring. I'm unique, damn it.
Well, I think a wizard staff and a druid staff are going to be very different.
One's going to be sparkly, and one's just going to be like a branch off a tree.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'll assume you're going staff, and if you change your mind, you can let me know.
All right.
Whatever I come up with for a staff, it wouldn't be hard to change it to a spear.
Yeah, sure.
I guess for right now, whatever weapon you choose, just assume it's a plus one weapon, and then once I know for sure what you went with, and then I might come up with more stuff about it. You get the plus two to constitution above and beyond everything else. And other than that, it's, you know, whatever you get for your class and your background, as far as equipment, you get all that stuff. And yeah.
So yeah, sorry. Went a little hiccupy. My internet is not great. So I get the plus one staff, and you said it'll go to plus two or plus three, or
I might give you more details about it once you know for sure what you're doing, as far as like what it looks like and stuff like that. In the future you'll have opportunities to power it up in some way.
Sweet.
Yeah, because basically I want everybody to have an item that's really iconic to their character from the very beginning. And, you know, it's like, I don't want to give you like this crazy powerful magic item at first level, but I also don't want you to feel like you're stuck with this crappy low powered magic item when you're like higher level. So this way we can do both. And eventually you'll figure out, if I don't tell you right away, eventually I'll tell you like how you got it or why you have it. or whatever. But I think with your staff or whatever you choose, I think it makes sense that it was given to you by the elder. Probably your tribe had a druid, like an elder druid that was part of the tribe that you trained under. And he or she probably gave this to you as part of like your coming of age ceremony or whatever. For seeing that you would be a great and powerful druid yourself one day. So, and maybe it was even like their item, you know, that your mentor kind of like says, hey, I'm getting too old to go out and fight with the staff anyway. So here you go. You take it and do good with it. Maybe they even had some kind of premonition that something really bad was going to happen to the tribe and didn't tell you,
like,
but knew you like,
take this.
Yeah. And go on a vision quest far away.
Go anyway.
So that would be kind of interesting, actually, if your druid mentor actually kind of saw this coming and sent you away mm-hmm. so that you would survive.
It probably wouldn't know exactly what it was, or else they'd probably try and save the entire tribe.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like, we don't know why she needs to go out here, but
yeah,
we'll figure it out. And then, it was a volcano. Damn.
I like it.
If only premonitions were more accurate.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, what I am sort of looking forward to is that firbolgs don't have names.
Oh, they don't?
Which I think is fun.
I didn't see that. Crazy.
I think it's really fun. Sometimes they'll just adopt nicknames.
Okay.
Or whatever that outsiders give them. But like when they're dealing with other races, they'll take like an elven name. But ultimately they just kind of like, they identify the forest children by their deeds, habits, and other actions.
Cool.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if I'll take a name or if my party will give me a name. That might be fun.
I don't know. Knowing the people that are playing, you might want to pick it yourself.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, Nosebreaker, get over here.
Who knows what they might name you?
Or it'd be funny. It's like, my character's like, you may call me whatever you wish. It's like, all right, your name is Fart. You may call me anything you wish except for that.
That's right. You got to be really specific with some people.
It's like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to choose my own. Because you people are children.
Totally. I love it. So, that's everything I had on my list. Do you have any questions or anything you've been wondering about or anything?
No, I think.
Okay.
I think we pretty much covered it. I'm wondering if. If I do go with staff, it would make sense to use a shield at all. Probably not.
Yeah, because a staff is a two-handed kind of thing. Yeah.
If I take a spear, maybe I'll take a shield, but
okay.
I think I'll probably just go with the staff.
Oh, and if there's anything like that, like if you get I don't know if you do, but if you get like a shield as part of your equipment and you're not going to use it, you can just sell it for half what it's worth.
I know.
Like, just trade it in for the money.
There's probably some things I'm not going to use in here.
Yeah. Well, like I think part of your equipment, you get a staff, but you're not going to need that because like, I'm giving you a magic Outlander one.
I just read.
Oh, that's right. But yeah. So you could sell that. It's probably not worth much, but.
I have a better one.
That's right. Yours is shiny.
Yeah. Like a scimitar, any simple melee weapon. I get a druidic focus. I guess technically the staff could be a focus as well.
Oh, cool. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I did with Zila. Her focus was her quarter staff.
Yeah.
Man, from one staff character to another staff character. I just like staffs, I guess. I just like them. They're just cool.
I like them in real life. I have a Joe staff I like swinging around and breaking stuff with.
Yeah, I remember I did bow staff a little bit when I did karate in high school. That was cool. Fun.
Yeah. So, just let me know when you get your character sheet up and I'll look over it and make sure everything's in order.
Yeah, sure. So, +2 to constitution.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll probably also have animal hit points. That's good, because maybe I can put a couple points in other things.
Yeah. And another thing is, if you want to think a little bit about what... Oh, wait, I guess you can't turn into an animal yet. But once you can turn into an animal, if you want to think about some of the forms you think you'll use a lot and let me know, I can like put those on like sheets for you or something. So mm-hmm. so you can have it. Unless, well, I don't know. You probably, do you have, what would that be? The monster manual? Do you have the monster manual to like look stuff like that up or?
I do not.
Okay.
But there are basic, in the back of the player's handbook.
Right. There's some
basic,
of them. Yeah.
Like different bears, hawks, falcons, lions.
Okay.
You know.
Well, maybe what I'll do then when you get that ability is I'll give you a list of all the things you could change into. Because there's going to be ones that aren't in there, and then you can let me know which ones you like, and then I can have those like those stats ready in case we need them, and I can put those in like separate little PDFs so you can just open the one you want and have it.
So are we doing simplified beast shapes or
what do you mean?
I think in the Unearthed Arcana there was something to do with a different type of beast shaping.
Oh yeah.
That like maybe limits the forms but makes it easier. I can't remember. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that.
I'm not saying use that because I know nothing about it. I was just wondering, like, is that
Right now I'm planning to use what's in the player's handbook, but I forgot about that, so I'll have to look at that and see. But I'll let you know.
I mean, I'd like to turn into every single animal ever, but you know.
Yeah. If that's what it is, if they're just limiting what you can do, I'd rather that you can turn into anything. I think that's cool. Especially if we kind of prepare ahead of time. Like, you know, if you know which ones you're going to use, then we can have the stats ready. So it's not we got to stop and look it up.
Like six different stat sheets.
Yeah, totally. And actually, animals are usually pretty simple. I could probably put like four of them on one piece of paper, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
Cool.
I can't wait to be a dinosaur.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So, yeah, your character sounds really cool. I'm excited. And if you have any other thoughts or ideas, you know how to find me.
I know where you live, Lex. Just kidding.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, thanks. I'm super excited.
Cool. Awesome.
I'm ready to get down and dirty in a like long haul campaign, you know?
Yeah. Me too. Yep. This one's hell or high water, man.
Woohoo.
We've got six players, hopefully, and we'll just keep going no matter what. If people quit, we'll find new people.
We're gonna make it work, damn it.
That's right. Well, awesome, Phoebe. Thanks so much for jumping on here. And
thank you.
Yeah, keep in touch, and if I don't see you before, I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for episode 196 of Game Master's Journey. If you'd like to get a hold of me, you can email me at gamemastersjourney@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Lex Starwalker. You can also call the Game Master's Journey voicemail number and leave me a message. If your question or feedback is entertaining or enlightening or both, you might even hear your message on the show. That number is 951-GMJ-LEX-1. That's 951-465-5391. Or you can find that number in the show notes for this episode at starwalkerstudios.com. If you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions for future topics, I would love to hear from you. In addition to the show notes, you can also find links to connect with the Game Master's Journey community on Google Plus and Discord at starwalkerstudios.com as well. There you can share ideas, questions, and stories with other listener GMs. If you'd like to support the show, the best way you can help me out is by becoming a patron. You can find out all about becoming a patron at patreon.com/StarWalkerStudios. You can also check the bottom of the show notes for all the other ways you can support the show, including purchasing a t-shirt or my D&D adventure, The Trickster's Labyrinth, at StarWalkerStudios.com. You can also use my Amazon referral link when you shop on Amazon. You can find all these ways to support the show and more at StarWalkerStudios.com/support. I hope that you have a chance to play your favorite RPG this week. I hope you have a chance to run your favorite RPG. I'll be back soon with another episode of Game Master's Journey. Until then, game on.
This has been a Starwalker Studios production, your source for quality gaming and hobby podcasts.
This episode's music, courtesy of Cloudwalker, Transboy, Renfield, Stanko, and Ish. See the show notes for more details at StarWalkerStudios.com/GameMaster's Journey.